May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Good morning. Listen to Psalm 19, a glorious hymn of praise. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong in the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if an ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body belonged to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leaderships, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. The scripture text that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is one that I remember learning as a child. I remember Sunday school lessons that entered into this beautiful metaphor, imagining parts of the body talking to each other. And I remember with childlike delight imagining talking ears and feet. I don't know how you first may have heard this lesson, but it's a metaphor that invites our engagement. It invites our imaginative entering into the text, thinking about its implications. Thanks to the beautiful theological work of theologians like Sally McFaig, I have come to understand and appreciate more and more how all theology is metaphorical. We're using words to describe something that is beyond words, words that approximate and help us understand but can never fully contain the thing that we're describing when we're talking about God. All theology is metaphorical, but some metaphors are more fun to play with, more vivid to imagine, and offer us a whole world of possibility as we interpret their meaning for our life. And this metaphor of the church as the body of Christ that Paul gives to us in 1 Corinthians is so excellent. It invites us to reconsider and redefine who we are, not as isolated individuals, but as members together. Now, as a congregation, we talk about members of the church, but we tend to think about it more as like becoming a member of public radio or the local gym, choosing to make a contribution in return for certain benefits or privileges, or to give support to something that we care about. This definition of membership is completely different in that it's a deeper reinterpretation of our whole identity. No longer isolated individuals, we are literally appendages in the same body. We are part of one another. We are interconnected in a way in which our flourishing depends on our belonging in the whole, and we have a function to play for the working out of the whole. In her theology, Sally McFaig offered us additional metaphors to think about, and her ecological work in interpreting the earth as the body of God has helped me rethink how I understand my belonging. Not even only interconnected parts of one another in the body of Christ, but on the whole of this planet, we are deeply connected to each other. Our actions or inaction have an impact on others, and we bear the consequences of others' actions in generations before us and now nearby and around the world. We are deeply connected to one another. But this metaphor from Paul's text about the body becomes especially vivid to me when I think about how pain works. If you've ever had a toothache and felt it all the way down your leg, you understand how an impact on one part of the body can make a difference elsewhere.
I remember learning from a friend of her struggle to recover from neck pain following a car accident and how many treatments were unsuccessful until finally she found a massage therapy that began with her feet that changed the whole of her body. Our bodies are knit together in ways we've only begun to understand, and touching one part of the body has incredible consequence in other places. I think of how deep breathing can affect the whole of my well-being, create space in which parts of my body I hadn't even realized were bundled up in tension to relax. As we think about what it means to be the body of Christ, then, we think of this deep interconnection, this belonging to one another, the effect we have on one another. And in Paul's text, he also seems to want us to understand very clearly that there is no ranking of body parts, that because their function, their belonging, their identity is as a part of the whole, though some are more visible, none is better than another. The head tends to get all of the press, but the whole of the body is what matters. As Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he's very clearly talking about our temptation to rank one another according to our spiritual gifts. And surely this continues in the church, as some jobs look more holy than others, as some work in the body of Christ feels more important. We have a tendency to say that all the parts matter, but sometimes we act as if some matter more than others. And Paul's lesson then to the church in Corinth that asks us to save ourselves from the sinful work of ranking some and their spiritual gifts over others translates as well, even through the text itself, to the rankings and orderings we give to the world based on language and culture, socioeconomic status, or ability. Paul pushes back against all of these ways that we label and divide and rank, reminding us that all of us are baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free. He's clearly speaking to a community that knows some diversity, asking them to see and live differently, inviting them to understand and embody the reality that we belong to one another and that our rankings, our labeling and dividing off of one another, our judgments against others only create problem because they invalidate what is true, that we belong to each other. I like imagining the parts of the body speaking to one another, the hand talking to the foot, and so on. Of course, the text becomes a little complicated in our own present time because we know and appreciate and value that we can function without certain body types. There's a temptation, even in reading this text, that we might come to be judgmental against people who cannot see or have lost a limb. If we enter too literally into this metaphor that suggests the head talking to the hand, sinfully saying, I have no use of you. I want to caution us against this judgment, the ableism that prevents us from seeing the full worth of people who may not see or have limbs or walk with their feet. And at the same time, remind us to see how even in our own time in the church, we have become victim of this passage when we have denied the gifting, the special ability and calling of any other person in the body of Christ. We certainly have looked at people and thought they had nothing to offer, and in so doing have acted like that hand talking to that foot, saying, I have no use of you. And it may be true that at that moment, the head had no use of the foot, but it was worse off for it. We have in the church decided that people have less to offer or aren't useful to the work of the whole. We've denied their perspectives and voice, their calling and gifting. And in so doing, we don't invalidate their gifting. We simply deny its contribution to us, to the rest of the body of Christ trying to function here. I think of for so long that women have been asked to remain silent in the church, and the church missed out on the gifts, the perspectives, the insight and wisdom of women for generations. I think of how so many parts of the church continue to deny a place to LGBTQ+ folks in the church. We miss the gifts that would otherwise be accessible to us as the community as we seek to live out love and justice. And even we progressive churches that have declared ourselves to be reconciling congregations, we look at some people as if they have nothing to offer. It's too much work to do the translation. It changes our habits to include and welcome others. And Paul here speaks against us, inviting us to know and notice what God's in control of and what's ours to do. And our God is a God who gives gifts to everyone, who creates everyone with a particular presence and power that's meant to be contributed to the whole. And we all suffer when we fail to see and use to belong with one another. If Paul's pushing back against this cutting off of parts of the body, this denial of the gifts that belong to the community, he's also speaking about the importance of living into the mutuality we share. Paul invites us to think about our belonging to one another, not only as we imagine how pain in one place can affect the whole of the body, but also as we imagine our power to give life and blessing to ourselves and others as we work toward a flourishing of life for all. And again, I think of the work of ecological theology that helps us imagine and work toward ways of living together that are good for the whole, that recognize our fragile interdependence, our innate mutuality, the effects of things in one place, felt far away, remind us that we belong to each other. I'm grateful this week for the words of Candace Simpson, a minister in a Baptist church in Brooklyn, New York, who writes and offers resources on fish sandwich heaven. She is committed to Black liberation and the flourishing of life for all. Here's what she says in reflection on our scripture today. We do not live in a world without being tethered to each other. Someone else in our ecosystems cleans our water. Someone else drives produce to the market. Someone else teaches our children. Someone else works at the power plant. Because we benefit from all these someone else's, it's important to be invested in the physical, spiritual, and social well-being of these people. It is impossible to live in a pandemic with the illusion of individualized personal choice and personal risk. Nothing we do has consequences for just us alone. And then she quotes a poem written by Gwendolyn Brooks about Paul Robeson. We are each other's business. We are each other's magnitude and bond. If we believe Paul's metaphor and that it has something to say to us as the church, we understand ourselves in mutual interdependence to be the body that is the church, to be connected as members together in the church, which is also the body of Christ. We connect to, participate in, have a part to play in the working out of the whole. Now, from ecological theology, we understand a mutual independence and interdependence that's not ours to choose, that we can't choose away from. And it's important to lift up and honor that mutuality. But Paul is talking specifically to the church, to the community of those baptized into the body of Christ. And I mean to say this not as an exclusive we're separate from and better than everyone else, but I want you to hear this as a special charge given to us who have claimed our part in the body of Christ, those of us who've been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are Christ's body, and our calling is to exist for the world, to live into this mutual interdependence, to use our gifts and calling, our perspectives and our power for the sake of the well-being of this world that God so deeply loves. In baptism, we're given this identity, this share. That's not a status we get to hold on to as if it exempts us from our care for the world, but as an identity that sends us into the world, that shows us, as Paul says at the end of the text we read today, a still more excellent way. This way is meant to be for the flourishing of us and of the flourishing of all. It declares that we are most fully alive when we use our gifts in service to others, when we don't destroy ourselves, but invest ourselves in the work of liberation and love and justice. You are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. May we be life for the world. Amen.